All right, Trouble, say good morning. Let us begin. So we begin by thanking our sponsors, to thank our Week of Learning sponsors, Ira and Miriam Grossman, for dedicating the learning this week in commemoration of the Yartzeit of Ira's mother, Freda Bas Shmuel, Avron and Gali Elbaum, for dedicating the Week of Learning in commemoration of the 37th Yartzeit of Avron's grandmother, Rose Lerner, Reisel Bas Chanuch, and the merit of Rafua Shalima for Sarah Bas Reisel and Shraga Moshe Ben Fago. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all the neshamas will have an aliyah, and all those who need a refuah will have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And Abbasi, with that, let us begin. So today's daf is Kuf Lamed Hey, 135. And we are picking up Emir Tzashem on Kuf Lamed Dela Lamed Beis, 134b. And we're picking up, we left off yesterday with Gufa. So we'll say it is 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom.
I did this with accent. Sorry.
Good? Okay, wonderful. All right, so we're picking up. Thank you, Rashi. Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, 134b. We're picking up again 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So Gufa. Amar Rav, in Monin Chamin B'Shami Al Gabi Maka B'Shabbos. Rav says, we do not go ahead and prevent, literally again, warm water and oil from on top of Maka. In other words, that you could apply warm water and oil to a Maka on Shabbos. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, no sein chutz l'maka, v'shol seis v'yored l'maka. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, what we do is, you place the warm water or the oil outside, directly outside of the affected area, and it trickles into the affected area. You can't put oil and or warm water on a moch. Moch means a soft piece of cloth, a soft fabric, to put on top of a makah on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam mishum schita. There the issue of is because of the moch, because the moch is soft and absorbent, therefore ultimately it could lead to schita, to squeezing out. Tashma, a nosten chamin v'shemen agabi moch, shal gabi makah b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says over here, we do not go ahead and place chamin, warm water, and shemen on a moch that goes on directly on top of a makah on Shabbos. Hasam nami mishum schita. So there both say, again, the issue is not the chamin or the shemen. The issue, rather, ultimately, is the schita from the cloth. Tanya kavasei de Shmuel. We have a braisa that supports Shmuel. Ein nosten chamin v'shemen agabi makah b'Shabbos. We don't place chamin and shemen, hot water or shemen or oil, on a makah on Shabbos. Aval nosten chutz l'makah, v'shol seis v'yored l'makah. But we do apply it outside of the area of the makah, and it could trickle down into the makah itself. Tan rabbanon, nosten agabi makah moch yavesh, usfug yavesh, aval lo gemi yavesh, v'lo kasisin yaveshin. So now, Bosi Goron quotes another braisa. You can place on top of a makah, moch yavesh means a dry cloth, or a sfug yavesh. Again, Svog is another type, is literally a sponge, a dry sponge. Avalo gemi yavish, but not a dry reed. Velo kasisin yavishin, and not dry rags. Kasha kasisin akasisin. So we'll say this contradicts what we said before, because before we said you could go ahead and place rags on top of the affected area. Lo kasha habechadati habaatiki. One is talking about the new rag, one is talking about an old rag. If you take a look at Rashi, chadati chadoshim shlo hayu agabi maka liolam. It's about new rags that were never on top of a maka before. So what does Rashi say? Masu, they heal. Atiki, old rags, lo masu. So we'll say, so apparently the rag itself has certain medicinal qualities, to which the Gemara says, so the Amrabai Ishmamina Hani Kasisin Masu. Therefore Rabbi says, you see from here that what? That Halacha Lamai said, these rags have some level of medicinal qualities as well. Good. Suffik Vandrojan. So we'll see, now we come to the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah spoke about the idea that a Suffik, so remember again, a Suffik was a child, baby's born, we're not sure, is it born after 7 months or 9 months? Remember, this goes back to the idea in Chazal, which is that a baby born in the 8th month is not viable. Interestingly enough, if born during 7, it could be viable. Born in the 9th month, it's viable. 8th month is problematic. So says the Gemara, or androgynous. Androgynous, of course, is a child that is born with both male and female reproductive organs. So the Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa, these children, we do not give them a milah on Shabbos. Rabbi Huda says, we do give an androgynous amila on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, let's analyze Tanur Rabbanan. Arloso vaday dochas haShabbos, velo safek dochas haShabbos. So we'll say, see, here's the drasha. The Braisa says as follows. The Braisa says, arloso. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, to quote the pasuk from Parshas Tazria, ubayom hashmini yimal bisar arloso. On the eighth day, you will go ahead and be mal his arlo. So we'll say, see, the Gemara says, arloso means arloso vaday dochas haShabbos. It's only a vaday arlo. That's Docha Shabbos. I'm going to say, what does that mean? Oh, thank you, Ashi, thank you. What does that mean? Meaning, it's only a definitive Arla. Meaning, an Arla that belongs to a child that is definitely obligated in the mitzvah of Mila. So remember again, that would, so top of Kuf Lamedei, below Safik Docha Shabbos, but a Safik Arla, so to speak. What does it mean, a Safik Arla? Either it is an Arla or it's not an Arla. Again, the Safik is not on the Arla. The Safik is on whom the Arla belongs to. Meaning, or I should say, the Safik is on the status of the baby who has the Arla. Is this a baby that is obligated in Mila, not obligated in Mila? So in the meantime, that a Mila is Docha Shabbos, is when it's we'll call it a definitive Arla. So it is only the Arla of a Vadai male child that is Docha Shabbos, below androgynous Docha Shabbos. But the Arla of an androgynous is not Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Huda, he argues, he says, androgynous Docha Shabbos. So Rabbi Huda agrees in the case of Safek. Rabbi Akiva will agree that if we're talking about an issue of a suffix of a child who is viable, then enochinami, we will not be mal such a child like that on Shabbos. But when it comes to androgynous, Rabbi Yehuda holds that an androgynous child is docha Shabbos, va'anush karis, and furthermore again, failure for this child to go out when he grows up and be mal himself is punishable by karis. Arloso vandai dochas haShabbos. Furthermore, again, when the pasuk says arloso, that teaches me that an arla vandai is dochas haShabbos, velo nolad bin hashmashas dochas haShabbos. So we'll say in Rabbi Huda's model, this is actually very interesting. In a situation where the baby was born bin hashmashas. So we'll say, remember again, you could have a situation where the baby is born during the twilight hours, so it's not clear. Is the eighth day of his life Shabbos, or is the eighth day of his life Sunday? So in that type of situation where you would have suffolk, halacha lemaisa, such a mila would not be docha Shabbos. Arla so vaday docha Shabbos, velo nolad kishuhu mahul docha Shabbos. Both say this is incredible. Furthermore, an arla vaday, only when there is an absolute clear arla, is that docha Shabbos. But I will say, nolad mahul, what happens if a child is born circumcised? It happens. Child is born circumcised. So I will say, that type of mila would not be docha Shabbos. Now I will say, this is actually very interesting. We're going to see that there's a fundamental machlokes about the metzias. When a baby is born circumcised, so how do we look at that? Do we look at that as that there's just no arla? Or do we look at the possibility that perhaps the arla itself is compressed into the flesh of the aver? Maybe there is an arla there, but the arla is just pressed into the rest of the aver. So we'll see how that plays out. So in any event, Rabbi saying, Rabbi Huda's model, he will hold that the mila of an androgynous is docha Shabbos. So what does arla so teach me? So we'll say, remember, the common denominator here is everyone agrees that the word arla, so his arla, is coming to teach me that it is only a quote-unquote, certified Arla that gets Mila on Shabbos. The Shaila is, or definitive Arla. The Shaila is, what falls into that category? So according to the Tanakhama, he ultimately brings it down as that it's not the Arla of an androgynous, or not the Arla of a Safek Zayin or Safek Ches, baby born in the 7th month, 8th month. Rabbi Huda says, no. Androgynous does get a Mila. See, he uses Arla so to teach me that a baby born Ben Ashmashas, you're not sure, again, is Shabbos the 8th day, is Sunday the 8th day, you won't give such a child like that a Mila, or Nolad Mahol. So we're going to see that when it comes to Nolad Mahol, the child who's born circumcised, we still do Hatafas Dambris, we still draw blood. But that type of Mila, Rabbi Huda says, would not be done on Shabbos. Shebe Shammai Omrim, because Be Shammai says, when you have a baby who's born circumcised, Sarach Lahatef Mimeno Dambris, you still have to draw Mila blood from that baby. Beisila says, no, there is no obligation to go ahead and remove from the baby dambris. So also, remember again, the most you could do with a child who is born circumcised is to draw blood from the tip, from the corona. That's all you could do. So Beis Shammai says one is obligated to do that, and Beis Hillel says one is not obligated to do that. There is no din of hatavas dambris by nolad mal. We're gonna see this machlokas. You understand, by the way, that this discussion, this has even greater ramp. The baby born mahol is not really so much where this discussion comes up. Where does this come up more often? Someone's coming to convert, and they're already circumcised. So what has to happen under those circumstances? So watch this. So Rav Shimon Elazar has a different approach. He says, Lo nechluku beis shamay ubeis hillel al nolad kishumo, shetzarech lahatif mimenu dambris. So we'll say Shimon Elazar's version of machlokes over here, he holds, Bisham beis hillel, do not argue on a case of nolad mahu. They both agree that in nolad mahu, you have to go ahead and draw blood. You have to draw from the makom mila. So what's the machlokes? Because we'll say they hold that literally, it's like a suppressed arla. They hold the say that in nolad mahu, the arla is there. It's just absorbed into the rest of the flesh of the aver. So therefore, again, obviously, there's no way to remove that piece of skin, but lamaisa, you at least have to draw dam mila from it. So what's the machlokes? I'm not nechloku. Oh, al gershin is gayer kishu maho. But see, what's the machlokes of Shammai? So, if somebody converts and they're already circumcised, shebe Shammai omrim tzarach lahatif meno dam bris. Beis Shammai says you have to go ahead. And you have to go ahead and take out. You have to go ahead and cause him to bleed. So you have to extract blood. Or Beis Hillel omrim ein tzarach lahatif meno bris. And Beis Hillel says that halacha lemaisa, there is no obligation to go ahead and extract blood from the baby. So I will say, so what you see over here is as follows. So let's take a step back. So remember again, this was the Gemara's beginning discussion over here was about the machlokes, Rabbi Huda and the Tana Kamo. Everyone agrees that a Suffolk baby, when we say Suffolk that it was born in the ninth month, or Suffolk eighth month, seventh month, we're not sure, such a mila is not Docha Shabbos. No one seems to disagree with that. What about androgynous? Tana Kamo says not Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Huda says is Docha Shabbos. Once we got into this, and I will say, where does all of this come from? The drusha on the word arloso. What arloso says is, it is only we'll call it a bona fide or definitive mila that is Docha Shabbos. Now, once you open up that door, that comes to go ahead and include a whole bunch of other cases. What about Nolad Mahol? Is Nolad Mahol, is that Docha Shabbos, not Docha Shabbos? So again, in one version, that's a machlokes of Shammai Hillel. In Shimon Elazar's version, which is the version the Gemara is going to go with right now, Shammai Hillel agree that Nolad Mahol gets a mila. That will say, interestingly enough, it could very well be that mila is not Docha Shabbos, because remember again, that mila is a suffik mila. This is what it means, suffik mila. The shaila is, do we view it as if there is a suppressed arla there or not? But either way, it would appear that mila would not be Docha Shabbos. The machlokes of Shammai Hillel is by gershin is gayer. What happens again? Someone converts and they're already mal, they're already circumcised. So Beis Shammai says you have to go ahead and draw blood. Hatafas dambris. Beis Hillel says you don't need to. Amar mar velo safek dochas haShabbos lasu yemai. So we said before that a safek mila is not dochas Shabbos. So what does that come to include? Lasu yehad the Tan Rabbanon ben Shiva mechalalin alav es haShabbos. We'll say if you have a 7th month baby, you're mechal Shabbos. In other words, we'll say that a baby born in the 7th month is considered to be a viable baby, and therefore you mechal Shabbos for him, whether that means his bris or anything else. Uben chas im mechalin alav es haShabbos. But about a baby born in the 8th month, at least in the eyes of Chazal, was not considered to be a viable child, and therefore there was no license to be mechal Shabbos for such a baby. Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Chas. What if we're not sure? If the baby is a 7th month baby, an 8th month baby, ain mechalalin alav es haShabbos. We're not mechal Shabbos for such a baby. The Gemara says, if you look at Rashi, by the way, ben Chas ain mechalalin alav, shahari kimesu. Ve'ain milasa mitzah. So again, literally, in the eyes of Chazal, a baby born in the 8th month was mamish, like not even alive. Not even alive. Meaning there was zero possibility of viability. So the Gemara was right there. Ben Shmona Hariyu Ke'eben Vasla Tatlo. Baby born in the 8th month is mamish like a stone. Or is there, there's no light. We don't view it as if there's any viable life there. And therefore, again, you can't even move that baby on Shabbos. Aval imo shocha umani kaso mipnei hasakana. But his mother, the mother could kind of bend over the baby and go ahead and nurse the baby that way because of sakana. Itmar. So then we're Rav Amar lach kitana kamo. Let's go back now for just a moment. So you remember again, we had a machlokes about the case of Nolad Mahol. So I will say, in the Tanakama's version, so the Machlokas Hashem was Beis Hillel, was about a baby who was born Mahol, and is such a Mila Doche Shabbos or not. Right? Because Beis Shammai said, you have to do Atafas Dabris. So therefore, it sounds like according to Beis Shammai, there is a din of Mila, and perhaps that Mila would be Doche Shabbos. And Beis Hillel says, there is no din of Hatafas Dambris by Nolad Mahol, and therefore, again, obviously not Doche Shabbos. In Rav Shimon Elazar's model, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that when a baby is born Mahol, you still require Hatafas Dambris. What was their machlokas? Their machlokas was about a ger. What happens if a ger comes along? He's already been circumcised. Do you have to do Atafas Dam Bris or not? Beis Shammai says yes. Beis Hillel says no. So here we go. Itmar. Rav Amar Halacha Kitanakamo. Rav said the Halacha follows the Tanakamo. Ushmuel Amar Halacha Kirib Shimon Elazar. And Shmuel says the Halacha, or when I say the Halacha, meaning the Machlokes of Shimon Elazar. So here we go. Ravada Bar Ava. So what's Ravada Bar Ava? Isyalid Lehahu Yanuka Kishuma. So let's listen to this interesting case. Ravada Bar Ava, he had a baby who was born circumcised. Yahadre Atlisar Mohale. So we'll say, so what happened? The 8th day of the baby's bris fell out on Shabbos. So Ravada Bar Ava is trying to find a mohel to go ahead and do a tapas dam bris. Trying to find someone to do a tapas dam bris. Look at Rashi just a moment. Ahadri atleisar moale sheati humeno dambris velo ratzu mishum deshabis havi ba'afil lebe shamai safeku ve'in machalolin. So we'll say he tried to find someone to do atafas dambris on Shabbos, and the moalim refused. The moalim refused because they said, even according to Beis Shammai, who says that you do atafas dambris for a baby who was born mahol, that's only misafek. And therefore, again, we'll say, it is only a mila vada that is docha Shabbos, not a suffix mila. So we'll say, so again, even Beis Shammai, who says that a baby who is born mahol gets a bris, meaning you draw blood, a tafas dam bris, that's alt suffix and won't happen on Shabbos. So here you have Rav Ada Bar Ava with this baby who's born circumcised, trying to track down a mahol for Shabbos, and he can't get anyone. What happened? Finally, he did it himself. So the Gemara says, Ad Shave Kros Shafcha. So unfortunately, he did it himself, and he botched the Mila. So literally, again, he made his son into a Kros Shafcha, which, as we said before, doesn't necessarily have to be literal, but it means he injured the baby. He cut off too much. So the Gemara says, Amr Tisili Da Avri Adirav. He said, ultimately, again, I guess I had this coming because I violated the words of Rav, because Rav said that Halacha Lamaisa, a baby born mahol does not require hatafas dambris. Amalei Rav Nachman, vad de Shmuel lo over. You think you're only in violation of Rav, you're also in violation of Shmuel. Okay, this is mamish like hitting someone when they're down. Right? You think it was just Rav, you were also over on Shmuel. Eimar damar Shmuel. Bechol. But say, even Shmuel, who says that halacha lemaisa, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree that a baby who is born mahol requires hatafas dambris, they only agree you do it during the week. No one says you violate Shabbos. B'Shabbos mi Amar. Ultimately, again, but by Shabbos, did anyone say that a tafas dam bris of a baby born mahol ultimately again will be docha Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, "Who savar Rav Ada Bar Ava felt vaday arla kavushahi." So apparently, what's happening over here is as follows: everyone, when it appears that the din of hatafas dam bris, Hatavas, that drawing blood with a baby who is born circumcised, is the din in Suffolk. We're concerned maybe there is just an embedded arla over here. So we'll go ahead and we'll give the baby, we'll draw blood, because that's all you could do for the bris. We'll do it in Suffolk. So because it's suffik, so you're not going to be doach a Shabbos. Rav Ada bar Ava felt vade arla kavushahi. Obviously, I will say the reason why he went looking moel after moel, and when he couldn't find the moel, he went ahead and what did it himself is because he felt that it wasn't a suffik. He felt that in the case of a baby who's born moel, it is definitely, I don't know if suppressed is the right word, but well, he's sort of embedded, an embedded arla. He felt it was definitive. Deitmar, Rabbi Amar Chayshinon Shema Arla Kavushahi, Rav Yosef Amar Vade Arla Kavushahi. And I will say, Vade Bar Avad, who trolloy on? Because apparently, again, I will say, this is a machlokas. This is a machlokas. And again, these machlokas are really dependent on one on the other. So again, you have one opinion saying that there's no such arla, will say, essentially, the shayla is, is there such a thing as a baby being born without an arla? Could such a thing occur? So this seems to be machlokes. So ultimately, again, you have Rabba says, yes, it is possible. Possible for a baby to be born without an arla. But the problem is, when the baby is born without an arla, what we don't know, is that a case of no arla? Or is it a case of an embedded arla? Versus Rav Yosef says, Vade arla kavusha. No, it's not true. In arla, we always assume there's an arla. There's no such thing as a baby born without an arla. The only shayla is the arla an additional flap, a piece of skin? Or is the arla embedded into the tip of the aver? So the Gemara says, Vade arla kavushi. Rav Yosef Amar, Mina'am minala. So Rav Yosef said, ultimately, again, from where do I know this? The sign Rabbi Lazar Kafar Omer, Lo nechlaku be shamay ube silal al nolot kishu mo, shetzarach lahantef mimeno dambris. So we'll also listen to this, because Rabbi Lazar Kafar said, Bisham Basilo don't disagree on a baby that is born without a foreskin, that you have to do atafas dambris. They both agree. Ama nechlaku lechalel alaves hashabbos. Ah, I will say, what's the machlokes of Bisham Basilo? Is hatafas dambris doche shabbos or not? Bishame omrim lechalel alaves hashabbos. Bisham says that halacha lemaisa. We're mechal al Shabbos for such a tafas dambris. We still omrim ein mechal in al avas Shabbos. Basil says we're not mechal al Shabbos. To which the Gemara says lav mechal de tanakama savar mechal in al avas Shabbos. Is it not? I will say, can we not infer from this that the tanakama holds that she would be mechal al Shabbos even for a tafas dambris? The Dilma tanakama divrei hakol ein mechal in kamar. No, maybe according to Tanakama, he would say that the Machlokes is whether or not you have to do Atavas Dambris. Like we said before, Abbas, the Machlokes of Shammai says is whether or not you have to do Atavas Dambris. But even Beis Shammai, who holds that you have to do Atavas Dambris, would agree that what? You don't do it on Shabbos. Im Kain, Rabbi Lazar Akafar, Taima de Beis Shammai, Ama Asala Shmuinon. If that's the case, again, is Rabbi Lazar Akafar coming to teach us the reasoning of Beis Shammai? Tell me, Chalkomer, maybe this is what he means to say. Lo nechalku Beisham Beisel b'davar zeh. Maybe we'll say what he means to say is as follows: that no one disagrees with this idea. Namely, everyone agrees that atavas dambris is not docha Shabbos. Everyone agrees with that. The only machlokas is atavas dambris necessary altogether. So therefore, we'll say we have a number of different variations of this machlokas or shimonal Beisham Beisel. Version A is that is a child who's born maul subject to the din of Mila. Machlokes Hesham Beis Shammai says yes, Hatavas Dambris Beis Hillel says no. Version 2, everyone agrees that a baby that's born, Mahul, still requires Hatavas Dambris. What's the Machlokes? The Machlokes is Gershin is Gayer. If somebody converts and they're already circumcised, do you have to have Hatavas Dambris? Beis Shammai says yes, Beis Hillel says no. Another version of the Machlokes. Everyone will agree that Aloch Lamaise Katar Shinolod Mahul will be subject to Bris. I'm sorry, we'll be subject to Hatafas Dambris. The Shaila is the Hatafa Docha Shabbos or not? So Beis Shammai says yes, Beis Hillel says no. We'll say bottom line, Halacha L'maisa, how do we paskin? So first of all, we paskin that when a baby is born, Mahul, there is still a din of Hatafas Dambris. Similarly, when a person converts, even if they're already circumcised, there is a din of Hatafas Dambris. And we also paskin that Atafas Dambris is not Docha Shabbos. So if you have a situation of a baby who was already born circumcised, and the eighth day of his life turns out to be on Shabbos, we would not go ahead and draw the blood from the Makom Mila on Shabbos, but rather again on that circumstance, we will wait until Sunday to do so. Good. So what says the Gemara? Another interesting sugya here. Still all Bismillah. Amar Vasi. Kol She'imo Tamei Aleidah Nima L'Shmona. V'chol she'en imo t'mei alei, de'en nimo l'shmona. Let's say, interesting halacha. Any situation where the mother is t'meia leida, she has tumas leida, the baby is circumcised on the eighth day. But if the mother does not have tumas leida, then ultimately, again, the circumcision does not happen on the eighth day. Shene emar, isha ki sazriya v'yalda zachar v'tama, u'bayom ha'shmini yimal b'sa arlafa. So we'll say in the beginning of Parashas Tezriya, there is a juxtaposition between the halachas of leida, or I should say tumas leida, ritual impurity as a result of birth. That section is juxtaposed to the obligation of bris mila on day number 8. So I must say, the Gemara wants to make, Rav Asi wants to make a very interesting drasha. He says, any time that the mother is subject to tumas leida, bris mila will be on day number 8. But if the mother is not subject to tumas leida, bris mila is not on day number 8. Now what does that mean? I must say, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, k'chol she'en imo t'mei aleida, kigon, yotzei dofen, v'nachris, she'yalda, ulamachar nesgaira, just to understand what the second part of this sentence is. So the first part of the sentence is, anytime the mother is tamei tumas leida, the baby gets his mila on day number 8. Okay, and what happens if the mother is not tamei tumas leida? So when does the baby get its mila? On day number 1. So we'll say, which when we say day number 1, what that means is you give the baby the mila as early as you can. There's no need to wait till day number 8. And we'll say, so just to appreciate what's happening over here, this halakha has a number of ramifications. We're gonna explore, see, the classic ramification, as we're going to see, what's a child who comes from a mother who's not subject to tumas leida? So the simple answer will be, you own a shifcha kananis, right? You own a Canaanite slave woman, maidservant. So remember, again, those types, a shifcha or a shifcha kananis, so has a quasi-Jewish status. So we'll discuss that in just a moment, but we'll say this has another ramification. A woman who delivers a baby via C-section. We'll say, again, when a woman has a baby via C-section, technically speaking, there is no tumas leida. There's no tumas leida. Why is there no tumas leida? Because tumas leida, right, ritual impurity from birth, is a function of natural childbirth. So technically speaking, if it's a C-section, salach lemaisa, there is no, on a technical level, there is no tumas leida. There is no tumas leida. There may still be tumas nida, because it might still be psichas amakar, opening of the uterus. But lamaisa, there's no tumas leida. So we'll say, so according to this version of Rav Asi, the only time there's an obligation to wait until day number 8 for the mila is when the mother is tamei tumas leida. But if the mother is not tamei tumas leida, then there is no need to go ahead and wait till the 8th day for mila. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Amar Abaye says, that doesn't make any sense. What about the fact Doros Harishonim Yochichu, She'en Imo T'mei Aleida V'Nimo L'Shmona. So what about Doros Harishonim? This is actually quite a fascinating question. So Abayi says, what about the earlier generations? Now, who are the earlier generations? Rashi points out, from Avram Avinu until Matan Torah. Or is Jews with Jews? You know, the descendants of Avram Avinu were doing Bris Mila already before Matan Torah. So what about all of the people who were waiting till the 8th? Remember again, the mitzvah of Bris Mila is given to Avram Avinu. So all of Avram Avinu's descendants do Bris Mila on day number 8. Nebo said, which means all the generations from Avram Avinu until Matan Torah, which is a significant number of generations, were all doing Bris Mila on day number 8, even though what? There was no Tumas Leida. Or as Rebbe said, the halachas of Tumas Leida were not observed prior to Matan Torah. No one had them. Yet they were observing Mila. So you see over here, Abaye says that there is a model of Mila on day number 8, even in the absence of Tumas Leida. To which the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Nisna Torah, the Torah was given, Amud Beis, V'nischat Shehalacha. You're right. What happened up until Matan Torah is one discussion. But now again, once Torah was given, we'll say a new set of halachos, which I will say is another way of stating, this Yerushalmi states the principle of, Ein Lemeidin Davar Mikodem Matan Torah. Yeah, whatever happened before Sinai, right, what happens before Sinai stays before Sinai, right? So we'll say, so the Maisa again, it doesn't mean what happened before Matan Torah is not really relevant for our halachic practice. By the way, we'll say, one of the greatest proofs to that actually is this sugya. Interestingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu the mitzvah of Milah, yet the mitzvah of Milah is restated in Parsha Sazria. Why is that? Because the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu, right, again, in Parshas Lech Lecha, is not halachically binding. That does not generate a biblical obligation, because any biblical obligation given before Matan Torah had to have been restated from Matan Torah and on. It's very interesting. So therefore, again, I will say, the Gemara says, fine, it's true. They did Milah on the eighth day before Matan Torah, even without Tumas Leda. But once Torah was given, there's a correlation, a relationship here between Tumas Leda and Milah. When the mother has Tumas Leda, Milah's on day eight. If the mother doesn't have Tumas Leda, you could do Milah as early as possible. So Gemara says, "Ini, is this so? Baha itmar yotzei dofen umishi yeshal shtei arlos." If a child is born, yes, different mostly means C-section. A child is born via C-section, or if the baby has two arlos, Rav Huna Rav Chia Bar Ava, Bar Rav Chia Bar Av, Chad Amar Mechalin Alav Es Hashabbos, the Chad Amar in Mechalin. So we'll say one opinion says, when we say Mechalin, it means we do the Milah on Shabbos. One opinion says we do the Milah on Shabbos. And one opinion says we don't do the Milah on Shabbos. So we'll say, see, you see over here that, now again, Yotzei Dofen, forget about two Arlos for just a moment, but Yotzei Dofen is a perfect example. The mother doesn't have Tumas Leda because it wasn't a normal birth, right? And yet, again, what do you see over here? There is an opinion that says we will still be Mechal Shabbos to give that baby a Milah on day number 8. So that seems to be a proof to it. So it seems not everybody agrees with this principle that wherever the mother is Tamei Tumas Leda, the baby gets the Milah on the 8th. But if she's not Tamei Tumas Leda, doesn't get a Milah on the 8th day. So Rishon Gemara says, no. Ad kan lo pligi elo lechalel alav es haShabbos. Abo se de machlokes is as to whether or not to give Mechal Shabbos for such a baby. Abo leshmona Vadai Mahalino Leh. But everyone agrees that Halacha Lamaisa the Milah is on the 8th day. So the Gemara says, maybe the Machlokes is like this. Everyone will agree that a Jewish baby gets a Milah on day number 8. That's what everyone agrees. Again, whether the mother has Tumas Leda, doesn't have Tumas Leda. Everyone agrees the Milah is on day number 8. What's the Machlokes, Rabbi say? The Machlokes is that type of Milah, meaning a Milah from a baby who comes from a mother who doesn't have Tumas Leda, is such a Milah Doches Shabbos. So both say, this is a very important development in Hilchos Milah. Every Jewish baby gets his bris Milah on day number 8. That's not a Shaila. That's not the Shaila. The Shaila is like this. Both say, just to appreciate the drush. Remember again, how do we know that Milah is Doches Shabbos? How do we know Milah is Doches Shabbos? Because again, the pause says, Ubayom. Hashmini ma b'sar l'asor. Remember, we darshan bayom means afilu b'shabbos. Afilu b'shabbos. Now, what's interesting to note is that drasha is juxtaposed to Tumas Leda. So, what the Gemara wants to suggest is the juxtaposition teaches us that it is only when the mother is tamei Tumas Leda that the milah is doche Shabbos. But if the mother is not tamei Tumas Leda, the milah will certainly be on the 8th day. But such a Milah would not be Doche Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is suggesting right now. To which the Gemara says, Kitanoi. In reality, again, this whole thing, and we'll say, by the way, just you should know, this would have a major ramification. What's the major halacha ramification of this? Again, a baby born via C-section. What happens if you have a baby born via C-section? The eighth day, the Milah falls out on Shabbos. Is such a Milah Doche Shabbos or not? So that's the machlokis over here. Everyone will agree that a C-section baby still gets a Milah on the eighth day. He's a Jewish baby. The Shaila is his Milah Doche Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, Ketanoi. The truth is, this whole thing is the machlokis tanoim. Rashi says, Hadar Abasi. His whole thing is a machlokis tanoim. Here we go. Yeshi Yelid Bayis Shinim Lechon. Shabbosai. Just going to say what's going to happen over here. The Gemara is going to illustrate for the rest of this daf this machlokes regarding children born to a Canaanite slave woman. So remember, we'll say there is a halacha that says all of your Canaanite slaves must be circumcised. That's the halacha. It's what we call a tvila and a mila l'shem avdus. There's a circumcision and ultimately, again, immersion in a mikvah for the sake of servitude. Right, so all of my male avodim kinanim have this. So this is going to be the illustration of this halacha, and then we'll plug it back to Jews in just a little bit. Rabbi said the reason we could also bring it from this is because, although it may sound a little bit strange, but lamaisa my eved kinani, my shifcha kinanis, has a certain level of Jewish status. So now watch this. Yesh yilid bayis shenim alechad. So we'll say there's sometimes there's someone, a Canaanite servant, born into my home, who is circumcised on the first day. Now, we'll say when we say first day just means you circumcise the baby as early as possible. You don't have to wait till the eighth day. So there are times when the Canaanite servant born into my house is circumcised on the first day. And sometimes the Canaanite slave born in my home is circumcised on the eighth day. So we'll say, remember again, just to define our terms, Yilid Bayis, the Pashtos, again, although we'll challenge this, the assumption what that means is I already own the Canaanite slave woman, and therefore the baby is born already in my possession. That's Yilid Bayis. Miknas Kesef is a Canaanite servant that I'm buying. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shanim al Lishmona. Sometimes a Miknas Kesef, the baby is circumcised on the eighth day. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shanim al Echad. So let's explain the cases. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shanim al Lishmona. Ketzad. What's the case of Miknas Kesef of a Canaanite slave that I'm buying that is going to get a Milah at eight days? Ketzad. Lokach Shifcha Mubar. So we'll say, watch this. If I purchased a pregnant slave woman, a pregnant servant, yolda, and afterwards she gave birth, zeu miknas kesef hanim alashmona. So we'll say essentially what we're going to see is as follows. Any time that the offspring of the Canaanite servant is born when its mother is already a part of my household, then halacha lemaisa that baby gets a bris milah at 8 days. But any time the baby was born not as a member of my household, then halacha lemaisa the milah is at a day. So for example, in this case over here, I already purchased the maid servant while she was pregnant. She gives birth after I already own her. Then halacha lemaisa the baby gets the milah at 8 days. Lokach shivcha uvla de ima. If you go ahead and you purchase the shivcha, and she had already given birth. So I purchased a shivcha and her offspring. Zohi miknas kesef shenim ola echad. Both in a case like that, halacha lemaisa, because I purchased the shivcha and her baby, the baby was already born, so that baby gets a bris milah as soon as he becomes part of my household, quote unquote, at a day. V'yesh yilid bayis shenim ola shmona. And I will say there's a case of yilid bayis where the baby gets a bris milah at 8 days. What's that case? Ketzad. Lokach shivcha benis abra etzlo. If a person purchased a maidservant and she became pregnant while in his household, v'yolda, and then she gives birth, zeu yilid bayis hanim alashmona. So we'll say then that offspring will get a bris milah at the age of 8 days. Rav Chama Amar yolda v'acharkach hitbila. Similarly, again, if halacha lemaisa says she had given birth, right? Let's say the maidservant had given birth, and then only afterwards did you go ahead and put her in the mikvah. So let's remember again, halacha lemaisa, when you acquire a shivcha kenanis or an eved kenani, there is an immersion l'shem avdus. In this case over here, what happens if I purchase the maidservant, she gave birth, and then only afterwards do I immerse her in the mikvah? Zeu yilid bayis shenim ola echad. This would be a case, ultimately, again, of a yilid bayis, where the baby is circumcised immediately. But if I purchased the maidservant and she went to the mikvah, l'shem avdos, and then she gave birth, this ultimately again would be a yilid bayis, a servant born into my home, who ultimately again gets a bris milah at 8 days. So you see the pattern. What's the pattern? The pattern is when the baby eved kenani, right, when the offspring of the shifcha kenanis is born already in quote unquote a member of my household, then halacha lemaisa the milah is at the age of 8 days. When, however, I acquire the baby after it's already been born, then the milah is done immediately, as soon as possible. The Tanakama says, Lo shani bein hitbila v'achagach yolda, bein yolda l'achagach hitbila. But the Tanakama does not make the distinction between the case of where she went to the mikvah and then gave birth, or when she gave birth and then went to the mikvah. So we'll say, so again, interestingly enough, the one case that Tanakama disagrees with is the Tevila case. The Tanakama says, once you own that Shifcha Kinanis, and she gives birth while you already own her, That baby then gets its milah at 8 days. Whether she went to the mikvah or didn't go to the mikvah is really irrelevant, which shows you what Rabbi Yossi. Now remember again, what's the chilik between her going to the mikvah and not going to the mikvah? So for our purposes over here, there is a pretty significant difference, which is if she gave birth before she went to the mikvah, even though technically speaking, I own there as a shifcha kinanis, she would not be subject to the halachas of tumas leida. Masha'inkein, if she had gone to the mikvah before giving birth, she would be subject to the laws of tumas leida. Because you also remember again, a shifcha and eved kinani have the halachic status or the halachic obligations of a Jewish woman, which means that a shifcha kinanis actually has the din of tumas leida. Now, both saying the fact that the Tanakhama does not bring a distinction between whether or not she went to the mikvah or not indicates to us what? And both said, understand what that would yield. According to the Tanakhama, if I purchased the shifcha kinanis and she did not go to the mikvah, then she gives birth. According to the Tanakhama, what's the halacha? That baby gets its milah at the 8th day, which tells you what? That according to the Tanakhama, there need not be a correlation between tumas leida of the mother and 8th day mila of the baby. That even if there is no tumas leida by the mother, halacha lemaaseh said there would still be an 8th day mila by the baby. So bishlam, amrav bishlam, l'rav chama mashkachos la yilid bayis nimo la'alif, yilid bayis nimo l'ches. So it's like, it makes sense. According to Rabbi Chama, I have a case now of yilid bayis that's circumcised on day one, or yilid bayis that's circumcised on day 8. Miknas kesef nimo la'alif, and miknas kesef nimo l'ches. So I will say, so again, I now understand the cases of yilid, why sometimes the yilid bayis is bris milah is on day 1, sometimes bris milah on day 8. Miknas kesef, we went through this before, sometimes milah day 1, sometimes milah day 8. For example, the Gemara says, miknas kesef nimo l'ches, yolda v'achar kachit bila. So we'll say, for example again, if she first gave birth, shifcha kinas first gave birth, and only then did she go to the mikvah, zeu yilid bayish nimo l'echad. We'll say, that would be a case of a yilid bayis, meaning that baby, right, that baby is born into my household. Yet again, halacha lemaisa will get the brismila on day 1 because his mother are not yet immersed. He'd be leva achar kach yolda, but halacha lemaisa again, if I purchase shifcha kinanis, she went to the mikvah and then gave birth, zeu yilid bayis nimo l'ches. Then that baby would get a mila at day 8. Miknas kasef. What's the case of miknas kasef nimo l'shmon? Okay, go shalakach shifcha mu'beres. Vit bila, that would be a case of where I purchased the shifcha while she was pregnant. She went to the mikvah. V'achar kach yolda, and then she gave birth. We'll say that baby then would be circumcised on the 8th day. Miknas kesef nima la'achad. What's the case of miknas kesef where the baby gets a mila after 1 day? Kigon shalakach ze shifcha v'ze ubra. So that would be a case of where I purchased the mother and the baby. Or she had already given birth before I purchased her as a shifcha. In that case, when I purchased the baby and the mother, halacha lemaisa, the mila could be done immediately. Ella tanakama bishlama kulu mishkachas lahu. Ella yilid bayis nima le'echad heichim mishkachas lahu. So once you grant to tanakama, I could also find all of these cases. But the one case that I'm not sure how to construct is, was the case of yilid bayis. So once you remember, yilid bayis means the baby was born already part of my household, where halacha lemaisa the mila would be done on day 1. According to Tanakhama, what's that case? On Rabbi Yirmiya, v'lokeach shifcha le'ubra. Well, I said that would be a case of where I purchased the shifcha, but listen to this. I purchased the shifcha, but I don't want the mother. All I want is the offspring. So I purchased the shifcha in order to have rights to the uber. So in that case, Rabbi said, again, I don't really have an interest in ownership of the mother. I have an interest in the ownership of the child. So we'll say that could be a case of halacha lemaisa, yilid bayis that would get a bris mila on day 1. To which the Gemara says, "Hani chalamandamer kinyan perislavik kinyan aguftami." Well, this is actually very interesting. That works fine. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Belokeach, it's 4 lines up from the bottom of Rashi. Belokeach shivcha leubra vafilu mi Yisrael dahav yutuma tuma leida shekvar tavla lav dumi delachemus. So we'll say, listen to this. So in that case, the Gemara suggests, if I just bought the mother with the intentions ultimately to have the rights to the uber, perhaps according to Tanakhama, that's a case of yilid bayis, where halacha lemaisa the mila will be on day 1. To which the Gemara says, "Honey, chalaman damar kinya perislavka kinya aguftami." So this is actually interesting. This is a different discussion in Baba Kama about the concept of having rights to fruit, perus, without having rights, without having title to the actual object which bears the fruit. See, if you say that you can make a distinction between ownership of Peris versus Kinyan Aguf, that works fine. So then I could own the Uber without really having an ownership interest in the mother. But according to the opinion, it says that once you have a Kinyan on the Peris, it says if you own the Guf, then my equal name. Then I both say again, this should be a case of Yelid bias. If I already own the mother, right, and the baby's born already has my Yelid bias, then that baby should get the Mila on day number 8. Amram Sharshia Belokech Shifcha Amna Shalo Lahat Bila. So what's very interesting? So Ram Sharshia says, what's the case? The case is where I purchased a Shifcha on the condition, ultimately again, not to immerse her. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, I purchased the Shifcha with the intention or on the condition that I'm never going to immerse her l'shem avdus. Look at Rashi just a moment. We'll say, remember again, remember as I said before, an Eved Kenani, interestingly enough, has this quasi-Jewish status. So we'll say, in the rest of Halacha, you know, you're either Jewish or you're not Jewish, right? There's no such thing as I'm 2% Jewish, 3% Jewish, you know, half Jewish, but you're in or you're out. The one exception to that rule is, interestingly enough, an Eved or Shifcha Kenanis. Now, when you go in and you purchase an Eved or Shifcha Kenanis, so Halacha L'maaseh, they become quasi-Jewish, meaning what? That there's a Tevila L'shem Avdos. As I said before, there's an immersion for the sake of servitude. That immersion for the sake of servitude endows them with a quasi-Jewish status. We'll say, we know. And then what happens? In the event that this Eved or Shifcha is ever freed, what happens? They morph into a full-fledged Jew. An emancipated Shifcha Kenanis, or an emancipated Eved Kenani, becomes a full-fledged Jew. So we'll say, so watch this case. What happens, however, if you purchase a Shifcha Kenanis on the condition that you are never immersing her? You're never immersing her. So we'll say, if you never immerse her, then what? She never really attains a quasi-Jewish status. Look at Rashi. Shalacha mashallah bila, de lo sheikha ba toras chiyuva de mitzvus klal, de la abdumya de la chemhu, aval tumas leida lo chayshina biyalda va achar kachet bila. So we'll say, shalacha lamaisa, the Gemara suggests, this would be the case, ultimately, again, of Yelid Bias that gets a Mila on day number 1. A situation, ultimately, again, where you purchase the Shifcha with the express intention not to be Tovel her. Therefore, she never really takes on the quasi-Jewish status. And therefore, such a baby born to her, would, according to the Tanakhama, would get the Mila on day number 1. All right, Tabasi, we're going to stop over here for today. So again, just so you appreciate what we do take out of this, what we do take out of this drasha, is I will say the one piece of, again, obviously all these halachas lagabe avodim, but there is an incredible piece of halacha that comes out of this, which is, we don't do C-section milas on Shabbos. So that is halacha lamaisa, that a baby born via C-section, that mila is not docha Shabbos. And that is a result, ultimately, again, of the juxtaposition. Isha ki sazria, because again, you have the section of Tumas Leida, juxtaposed to Ubayoma Shmini Yimol B'sa'ar Laso. That drasha, Ubayoma Shmini, is the drasha that teaches me that Mila Bizmana Docha Shabbos. The fact that the drasha Mila Bizmana Docha Shabbos is juxtaposed to Tumas Leida tells us that it is only a baby who is the result of a natural birth whose Mila is Docha Shabbos. But Eina Chinama, we call the Yotze Dochen, a C-section Mila. That Mila, of course, has to happen on day number 8, because we pask him, even if the mother is not Tamei Tumas Leida, the Mila still happens on day number 8, but that Mila will not be Docha Shabbos. We'll stop here and pick up Avir Mirat Hashem tomorrow. All right, to all of us, to all of you joining us on Zoom, thank you for joining us. Yeshikayach. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, everyone.